Out of Your System. Written by Mimi Lamb. Read by SBL. Fandom, The Untamed. Relationship, Linton, Weying. Rating, Explicit. Summary. Weying finds out her best friend Linton is in love with her and offers a really super solution. Chapter 1. It happens when Weying comes back from the bathroom. The bar is at its blurry edged peak of the night, and she has some beers in her, just enough so everything is lovely and light. From across a crowd of heads, she sees Mian Mian join their group, hug everyone, kiss some cheeks. Weying shoulders her way past tall bodies and sweaty backs, saying, excuse me, sorry, excuse me, and gets to the table to catch the tail end of a conversation where Mian Mian says, No lantern tonight? And Hui Sang answers, Lanhuan weekend. To which Mian Mian says, Ah, yes, the Lan's heartbreak retreat. Weying says hello with a hand to Mian Mian's shoulder. Mian Mian looks up and her mouth does a little stuttering thing. Weying sits down and says, Heartbreak retreat? Lanchen is with her brother. She goes once a month, visits him up in his mountain lodge. Lanhuan had moved there some years ago. To get out of the city, went the story, though everyone knew some kind of breakup was involved. Weying never quite understood the fine details of it, only that there were a handful of people involved, and someone walking in on someone, and that everyone had made very bad decisions. Lanchen often said something along the lines of, He doesn't get to see a lot of people these days, he appreciates my visits, all while packing her weekend bag, a big, black shoulder strap thing, open-mouthed on her wide bed. She'd fold her clothes with excruciating slowness, would redo when unsatisfied. Her hands were big and her fingers long, and she looked utterly at peace, stacking a t-shirt on top of another. Weying could watch her at it for hours. Mian Mian says, and looks to Hui Sang, quick and worried. What? Weying says. She feels slow, not catching up. What did you say? What did I say? What's a... The word slots with a tick to the back of her brain. She is stuck on a breath. Then... Luncheon has a heartbreak? Her pulse picks up. She jokes sometimes over dinner, mouthful and funny and rambling off of a, So, when are you gonna leave me, huh? Get snatched up by some hot babe and leave me forever. When? When? It is only a joke because Lanchen never does go with anyone. Not for longer than a date, too. Never brings anyone home. Never gets flustered at the mention of a name. Never stays away for longer than a single night. And at Weying's teasing, Lanchen would only ever answer, Not yet. Weying would tsk at her and snap her chopsticks at her and then imitate some mother's speech about not being picky, about having to find a good wife to take care of her. And later, at night, in her own room, a wall away from Lanchen's, she'd think, Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Not. I mean... says Hui Sang, raising his eyebrows at his drink and nod at her. Everyone else looks down or away too. The first thought that comes to Weying is, But I live with her. She thinks, But I know everything. But the table is so quiet, and there's the atmosphere of a held breath, of the words, Oh no, materializing between them in curling neon. It's Wen Qing's new girlfriend who speaks up. Very tall, bleached hair, always wears a little pendant of a sun. She's eager and a little mean. Weying doesn't like her much and can never remember her name. She says, Oh, come on, you know, you know, you know. Everyone knows, come on, like, Amina. Wenqing gives her girl a wide-eyed look. She puts a hand on the table like that might put a stop to the conversation. What? Amina says. Seriously, like, what? Are we all pretending? What? Everyone knows, she knows, it's dumb, and I don't think... Ni Huaisang cuts in with a, girl, I swear. And Mingming gives a panicked, high-pitched giggle, and Anning exhales the longest breath and says, oh boy. What? Wei-ying says. She feels faint. She sees the shape of something terrible coming, and she feels faint. 2 bus lines and a 5-minute walk away is her home, her life. The heat tail under the low roof of their apartment, hers and Lan Chen's. The buzz of the hallway lamp, the badly painted walls, the narrow dollhouse of a kitchen, the smell of Lan Chen's bedroom, soap and linen and jasmine. The clean stack of towels in the bathroom cupboard, folded along ruler-tied lines. The dinner Lan Chen has left in the fridge, the post-it on the fridge door, which was the first post-it that Wei-ying had left to Lan Chen after moving in. A lemon with a human face and hearts for eyes, dancing on stick figure legs, and the words, went out for lemons, BRB, XXXXXXX. That was 3 years ago. The post-it has been left there, a memory. What? Wayne says again. What? And, what do you mean? No, what do I know? What? I'm so sorry, says Mian Mian and puts 2 fists up by her face, a word cartoon version of dismay. Wen Qing says,
thanks, Amina.
And Amina says, oh, this is not on me. I mean... And Huai Sang turns to Wei Ying and puts a hand on her arm and says, honey, okay. Honey, finish your drink. Honey, listen. Honey, the thing is that... Wei had just been sent off to a new home when they met, her third since the Jiangs kicked her out, and it was a bad home in a boring way. The rules were boring, the punishments boring, the fact that she knew she'd be out of there before the year's end, boring. She wouldn't stay at this school, she knew. She wouldn't see any of them again. Not the teachers, not the kids. Not the bathroom graffiti.
Fuck you, Lisa, you snitch!
Lan Chen was just some chick in her science class. Too tall for her age, oddly bulky, thickly framed glasses before anyone was supposed to have them. Her hair pulled back so tightly that it tugged at her skin, shiny forehead, eyebrows straight. A tender smattering of a breakout along the hairline. She looked like she might be pretty, but it was hard to see through the strangeness of her. Straight tapered jeans, a belt, tucked in blank t-shirts. She never talked to anyone, never smiled. Wei had only been at the school a second and she had already heard the rumors. She was a robot. She was a government-installed spy. She was a freak who collected people's socks. The popular girls liked Wei Ying, and the popular girls liked to talk about Lan Chen. Oh my god, they would say. Oh my god, did you see how she... It was 2007. They were paired for a project. They met up in an empty lab room to work on it. Lan Chen had her lab coat buttoned up all the way, had her protective glasses on over her own. Wei wore her coat like it was a house robe and she a lazy widow, sleeves slipping off her shoulders. She let Lan Chen do the work and sat back in a chair and swung back and forth, back and forth. Yan Li had given her Uggs for her last birthday, in secret, a package sent, made to look like it was school books, so her parents wouldn't ask. Jiang Cheng, when she last saw him, tossed his old flip phone and said,
this one's rank. I got a new one. Whatever. Don't make a deal with it.
Wayne chewed her gum and played snake for an hour, while Lan Chen poured something from the one container into the other. She wrote down formulas. Sometimes Wei-ying would look up and consider her for a while. The straight line of her back, the soft part of her lips. Her hands were very big, her fingers long. Hey, Wei-ying said once. Hey, you should let me give you a makeover. Lan Chen went very still. She said,
no.
Then,
you should participate in the project. You're not doing anything.
Wei-ying cackled, said, how about now? No, thanks. And went back to her phone. At the end of the hour, when Lan Chen was packing her bag, she told Wei Ying,
I will tell Mrs. Sahir that you did not do anything.
Fuck you, no! Wei Ying said, and stood up quickly. The chair teetered. Her new foster parents were all about the grades. Phone privileges hinged on grades.
We should have done her part.
Lan-Chan said, flat and direct, and made to leave. Wayne grabbed her arm, wanting to make her case, but Lan-Chan's eyes went very wide, a terrifying dark, staring at the spot where Wayne was holding her. Wayne let her go. She swallowed. She said,
"Don't. Like, please?"
Lan-Chan looked up at her. Her nostrils were flared. Her glasses reflected the windows, all that daylight. It made her unreadable. She said, voice low.
"Too late."
She laughed. Wei failed that class. Phone privileges retracted for 2 weeks. She missed Yanli's birthday, couldn't call her, had to send her an email from the school computer. She missed the bus home and had to walk all the way back, and was late for dinner too. And being late for dinner meant you didn't get dinner, and so Wei Ying didn't have dinner that evening. She got her girls to round up on Lan-Chan over lunch. There was no plan, only anger. Wei Ying hopped onto the table right where Lan-Chan was eating. She shoved her food aside. She said,
"Hi!"
in a nasal tone of voice that made sure everyone knew this was going to be a fight.
"Remember me?"
The other girls coalesced, sat down on the bench, lingered close, hips cocked, arms crossed. Lan-Chan looked up at Wei-Ying, body locked. Her shoulders, her jaw. She clearly knew what was coming. Wei-Ying had a moment to think, oh, she's been here before, and then didn't think anything at all.
"Hey, Lan-Chan," she said. "Are you like a virgin, or are you like a total sex freak? Because some people are saying you're a sex freak and like, best to ask, you know?"
Lan-Chan's long ponytail was collected over her shoulder. She was wearing a powder blue button-down, looked like a guidance counselor. She made to get up, and Wayne gave a mean,
"No, stay!"
Held her down with a gentle press of her shoe to Lan-Chan's chest, pushed her back into the bench. Lan-Chan reacted immediately, grabbed her ankle and shoved it away, stood up and loomed, still holding on to Wei-Ying's leg, fingers stuck tight. The movement tumbled Wei-Ying back to her elbows, legs wide in her skirt, and the hot lick of embarrassment ran down, pulled, shut back up. Wei-Ying yelled. She yelled to be let go, yelled at Lan-Chan to get her hands off her, kicked out, yell more. Lan-Chan had let her go quickly too, but Wei had been startled into fury and had already sunk her teeth in. She could not let up. She never learned to let up. She was on her feet again, a big step between her and Lan-Chan, and she was babbling aloud for the whole school to hear, saying,
"Oh my God, you're such a freak!"
Saying,
"Did you see how she grabbed me? Did you see how she grabbed me?"
Saying,
"If you put your hands on me one more time, I swear I'll..."
Lan-Chan took a threatening step forward, like she would. Like she would put her hands on Wei-Ying one more time, just to see what. Wei-Ying took the same step backwards, knocked into someone, said,
"What the fuck?"
said,
"Are you, like, obsessed with me?"
And then,
"Are you, like, a lesbian?"
The word hung, breathless, a second. Sometimes words did that. Thrown at the right moment, the right angle, they stuck to the wall. They stayed there. Every school was full of them. Words uttered once by one person and then echoed and echoed and echoed. Shitstainfare, blowjob Neve, the easy one, the virgin one, the ugly one, Jason, you know that guy who cried during the sex ed class? Wei had a penchant for knowing which words would stick, once spoken. She knew, the moment she said it, that this one would stay. She could hear it in the hush that fell over the cafeteria, could hear it in the intake of a giggle, the whispered, "Ew," from someone, somewhere. Most of all, she knew it by the way Lan-Chan's eyes went wild, a fraction, a caught animal of a look. Her shoulders went up. She looked like she might be sick. Wei held her mouth tightly shut. Chin up. Lan Chen marched off. Someone called after her.
Lesbian!
We had been right on two accounts. The word stuck, and she herself was off to a new home before the end of the term. She'd barely been at the school for 3 months, would attend several more after that, before dropping out, before running away, before. But she remembered those 3 months more clearly and sharply than most of her teens. Her neon-drenched mean girl face, the way she walked down the hallways in a shuffly way without lifting her feet off the ground, the smell of the hair gel she used to make two strands stiff enough to frame her face. The names of the girls she hung out with had disappeared. Their faces had disappeared. But one hot core of a shame remained. Lan Chen, in her blue shirt, Wing's shoe pressed on her collar, pushing. The dusty print her soul had left behind. The words she had said. Freak. Lesbian. We would roll the memory around in her palm in the hope to wear the jagged edges smooth. She would confess her history to new friends, wielding the story as an out, a preferred red flag.
This is who I was. Possibly still am, just so you know. You can leave now if you want. You can leave now.
And then, one grey bright day in November, Lan Chen walked into the apothecary. It'd been 10 years since Wei Ying had seen her. She had wondered, at times, if she'd be able to recognize Lan Chen if she saw her on the street, all grown up, busy, on her way to somewhere. Probably not, she decided, and had been very wrong. Recognition lit up in an instant, a horror. Lan Chen was just as tall as she'd ever been, and the meaning of her bulk was clear now that she'd grown into it. Wide shoulders, strength. Her hair was short and floppy, a 19th heartthrob cut. Early Leonardo. The day's drizzle had given it a wave. We had been so gone on Leonardo. The panels on Lenten's glasses fogged up the moment the door closed behind her, and she took them off to clean them with the edge of her shirt, peeking out from under her jumper. Loose jeans, a grey Adidas jumper, a baseball jacket. She hadn't seen Wei Ying yet. Her eyes were blurry, glasses in hand. Her mouth was a crushed plum, the wet inside a bottom lip. Wei Ying's heart went wide, wide, then shrunk all at once. The apothecary was an old one. Tall wooden shelves, a ladder to get to the highest ones. A wall of glass jars full of candy, full of dried herbs, roots, powders. Random things hanging from the Lazy Susan rack. Socks, hairbands, earrings, condoms. There was not much space to move, and Wei had to flatting herself sideways to flee to the back. She told Wei Ning,
"Oh, you gotta go take the register. I can't.
Wei Ning was doing the online orders. The sticker machine ticked and buzzed next to him. He said, and didn't get the chance to finish, because the little bell on desk rang out. Lan Chen leaned the counter over to see if anyone was around to help her, and just like that, saw Wei Ying. Their gazes held, a blank second. Wei Ying did not breathe. Lan Chen recognized her too. Then Lan Chen leaned away again, and Wei Ying said,
Oh God.
And the door to the apothecary opened with a chime, closed with a chime. Wei rushed back to the counter. Wei Ning came with her. They both watched Lan Chen through the big windows. She stood outside, right outside, unmoving. Her back was to them. At some point, she lifted her hands to cover her face.
"Who's that?"
An Ning asked.
"Do you know? Know them? What's..."
"It's that girl,"
Wei Ning said. She turned away from the windows.
"You know, the... Oh, God. The one from school who I... When I was mean, who I called... Who...
She's coming back," Wei Ning said quickly, and Wei Ning could only manage a single high-pitched sound, and then the chime rang. Door open, door closed. Lan Chen stood inside. She brought with her the smell of rain, of cold air. Her face was impassive, her neck red. We reached out to straighten a basket of mints, and knocked over a stand of lip balm, and said,
"Shit! Ah, sorry!"
Lin-Chen said,
"Can you help me?"
Her voice was very deep. It was ice fucking cold. Wing, mid-gathering, stilled. She had two handfuls of balm tubes. She put them into the mint basket. She nodded, gave a breathless,
a smile. Of course, what can I...
Lin-Chen was there to get some vague steeping root. We had never heard of it. Wenying had, and went to the back to check their inventory, and the two of them stood in silence. Wenying behind the counter, Lin-Chen standing lost in the middle of the store, hands in her pockets. She stared blankly at the door. Her glasses were thin-rimmed, gold metal. We remembered wondering if Lin-Chen might be pretty when they were young. Vaguely so, unsurely so. She looked at her now and could see with shocking clarity. Lin-Chen was stunning. The kind of beauty that announced itself with a spotlight, the main character in a movie. We recalled asking Lin-Chen if she could give her a makeover that day at the lab, and felt the embarrassment of the memory flash hot all over. Her heart was beating fast and heavy in her ears. She hadn't washed her hair that week, had pulled it into a greasy short tail. The big bottle of almond oil spilled on her earlier that day, and she had a stain right above her boob. She was wearing three t-shirts on top of the other, short-sleeved over long-sleeved. She had no makeup on, looked a smudge-eyed mess, tired and exactly her age. She tried to fix her hair with two hands, smoothing the grain of it. It didn't help. Wenying came back with the news. Not in stock, but they could order. Lin-Chen gave a nod. Wenying stared numbly at the computer screen as she punched in Lin-Chen's email address into the order form. Lin-Chen directed her thanks of goodbye at Wenying, and only let her eyes slide over Wenying. A cold pass, uncaring. Wenying got very drunk that night. Cried into Atsing's lap. Threw up into the toilet and a little bit next to it, and fell asleep on the couch. She half talked to her therapist about it. Slumped deep in her chair, fiddling with the laces of her hoodie. She said, "So I ran into that girl," and her therapist said, "Do you think you might want to reach out to her?" And Wenying shrugged and stayed quiet for about 10 minutes of the 30-minute session. The steeping root came in. Wenying clicked send on the generic pickup message. "Your order has arrived." She highlighted Lin-Chen's email address just to see it show up in blue. z.lan91@outlook.com. She copied it, didn't paste it anywhere. Every time the door opened that day, she thought she was going to throw up, but none of them were Lin-Chen. And so she rung up strangers' toothpaste and makeup remover pads and cold medicine, all with shaking hands. Lin-Chen came by the next day, midday. Men's cologne and a showered look, a leather jacket over a crew neck shirt. Thin silver chain for a necklace. She said,
"Hi, I'm here to pick up my order."
"Right," Wenying said. "Hi, yes, of course, you're..."
When he was shuffling through order papers, Lin-Chen said,
"Don't you need a name?"
Wenying looked up. She tried to smile, faltered.
"No," she said. "No, I know you're... who you..."
Lin-Chen stared, unmoved. She could be angry, and she could be indifferent, and she could also not recall Wenying at all. There was no telling. Wenying went to get her order. In the back, she leaned her face against the wall for a second, breathed. And then, in a quick decision, a non-thinking decision, tore a corner off a notebook, wrote a few lines, stuffed it in the paperback together with the root. Lin-Chen accepted the package. She made to pay, and Wenying said,
"Oh, no, it's fine."
Though she wasn't allowed to do that. That's not how the apothecary worked. Lin-Chen, one hand on her wallet, said,
What?
And Wei-Ying said, It's fine, it's fine. You don't have to. And Lan Chen said,
Why?
And Wei-Ying said, Because you... She didn't have a reason to give. Lan Chen insisted on paying. She did. She left. Wei-Ying watched her leave. The call came that evening. Lan Chen didn't even say hello, jumped right in when Wei-Ying picked up.
What do you want?
Lan Chen? Wei-Ying had been unpacking her groceries. She had to put down a grapefruit. Her stomach turned over, terrified.
You said you wanted to talk,
Lan Chen said. She meant Wei-Ying's note, the frantic scribble with a phone number.
Talk about what?
Oh, Wei-Ying started. She sat down. I thought maybe we can... Look, can I maybe buy you a coffee? I don't think I can do this on the phone. A silence. A shuffling sound.
I don't drink coffee.
Wei-Ying huffed a nervous laugh. Tea then? Water? You don't have to drink anything. I mean, fuck compulsory consumption as a way of participating in public life, am I right? She ran out of breath. She sighed.
Tea,
Lan Chen said. It was her only response. They met up on a Saturday, a crowded cafe. It didn't go well. Lan Chen didn't take off her jacket once inside. She was in grey sweats, that same silver chain. Powder soap, jasmine. She kept her hands in her pockets and didn't drink her tea. Wei-Ying rambled, face hot, staring at the table, not looking up once. About how she wanted to apologize. She wanted Lan Chen to know that she had always regretted her behavior, that she thought about it often, but she was happy to see Lan Chen had turned out okay, because look at her, she looked good, she looked healthy, she looked like...
They kept it up after you left,
Lan Chen said. It was the first thing she said, when he looked up. Lan Chen had an eyebrow up, her expression still unforgiving, not a crack in the armor. The moment stretched taut between them. Lan Chen continued.
They wouldn't let me change in the changing room with them. Petitioned with the principal about it. So I'd change with the boys.
She was still lounged back in the chair, cowed open. The shape of the bone of her hip was visible in her joggers.
One time they stuck a dildo to my locker.
Shit, Wei-Ying said.
Thank you for the apology,
Lan Chen said, flat, and put some money on the table. She got up to leave. Wei-Ying hurried after her, followed her out into the street, no coat. The city had frozen over in the night, and frost still hung in the air. Her breath came out in puffs, and she caught Lan Chen by her arm with a, Wait, fuck, please, just... Lan Chen turned, and now a crack was showing. Jaw tight, eyes dark. Wei-Ying let go, stepped away, said, I know I was a shit. I was such a shit. I didn't know anything, and... Lan Chen was about to walk away again, and Wei-Ying added a frantic, What can I do? Lan Chen looked at her.
I don't know. What is it that you want from me?
I want... She started, faltered. She was shivering in the cold. I don't know. Can I see you again?
I don't think so.
Okay, she said, and laughed, something of a sob. That's fair. Okay. She wrapped her arms around herself. I guess then, thank you for agreeing to... Yeah, for today.
Goodbye,
Lan Chen said, and turned. Her stride was steady and unbroken. Wei watched her until she disappeared in the crowd. She had thought, that's that. She had thought, I'll never see her again. On the phone, that evening, Yan Li said, You offered her all you could offer. You did your best. You admitted your mistakes. If she doesn't want it, then that's her prerogative. But you said your piece, and that's all that matters. That's all that... I wish... Wei-Ying said, and didn't finish her sentence. You wish? I don't know, she said, and she didn't. She didn't know what she wished.
What is it that you want from me?
Lan Chen had asked, sincerely, and the baritone of the question stayed with Wei Ying. She didn't know what she wanted, only that she didn't get it.
Only that it whined in her belly, an absence, a question posed and left unanswered.
When Huai Sang tells her, she thinks she's going to cry. Her throat closes up, her belly. But the tears don't come. Not then, not later in the bus home, not when she enters their apartment and sees Lan Chen's running shoes stacked neatly next to hers. She's sober and drunk all at once. Her body bumps off furniture walls. She woozily heats up the food Lan Chen had left for her. She drinks the beer Lan Chen had bought for her. She sits alone at the dining table in silence and eats, scoops it out of the container with a fork. Her throat barely lets anything through. She opens her phone to the last text she'd sent Lan Chen. Early this afternoon.
Text me when you arrive! Good luck with Ahuan!
And then a series of kissy cat emojis. She stares and stares, hard a sad truth behind her ribs. A feeling like an emptiness, like having eaten and still being hungry. Then Lan Chen starts typing on her end.
Wei quickly locks her screen, thinking,
she knows. She knows I know. Someone told her, and now she knows I know.
The hunger turns to nausea. She can't eat, puts down her fork. She unlocks her phone. Lan Chen is still typing. She types and types. It goes on. Wei times it over the thudding of her pulse. 5 minutes. An essay. It must be an essay. When the message comes through, it's a single line.
Arrived safely. Greetings from Lan Huan. Don't forget to eat. X.
Wei swallows, closes her eyes, aches a little.
She's in love with you,
had been Huai Sang's words, back at the bar. He had a way of turning strict with his language when necessary.
It's a thing.
What do you mean? She'd asked.
What do you mean a thing?
And Huai Sang had explained. A thing as in, a lot of people know. A thing as in, it's been going on for a while. A thing as in, no one was allowed to tell Wei Ying. The tragedy of it all was the thing.
You're her straight best friend, you know,
Huai Sang said, sympathetic, a hand on Wei Ying's arm.
It's not a great look, you know. Do you understand, sweetie? It's not a great look.
She hears him again, now, looking at Lan Chen's text. Her stomach like two shoes in a dryer, tumbling round and round.
She's in love with you. It's not a great look. She's in love with you. It's not a great look. She's...
Wei goes to Lan Chen's room and sits on the edge of her empty bed. She sits there and sits there and sits there. Then she takes one of Lan Chen's pillows and screams into it, lowers it, keeps it in her lap. Her mouth leaves behind a round red circle. She flushes at it in the dark and rubs it until the glint of her spit sinks into the fabric. When she puts it back, she makes sure to turn it, good side up. And of course, it wasn't the last time she saw Lan Chen. The dam of fate had broken, it seemed, and the stream would only try to push them together. She ran into her, twice at the market, once at the cinema when they were both on a date. Lan Chen's girl was reedy and wide-mouthed. And once at the library, Wei returning a book, Lan Chen taking out one. They didn't speak on any occasion. Wei only nodded, gave a stiff smile. Sometimes, Lan Chen nodded in return. Sometimes, she didn't. And then, Wen Qing's birthday. At a bar, no presents allowed, a small string of flags hung overhead with a barman's permission. A crowd of people that kept on growing. The music got louder, a happy loud, and then Mian Mian showed up late, but with a plus one. An old friend someone from back home. She hoped it was okay, that Atsing didn't mind, that she didn't...
It was Lan Chan.
Stepping into view easily, taller than everyone. She still had that flat, sour look on her face that distasted for everything that touched her. Introductions were made. Wayne kept looking down, up at Lan Chan. Down, up at Lan Chan. Lan Chan, on her turn, was staring back, unrepentant. When Mian Mian got to Wayne's name, Wayne caught her off with what felt like a brave,
"Yes, yes, we know each other."
"You do?" Mian Mian asked, then looked hesitant.
"Hmm,"
Lan Chan said. The subject was left at that. But then, a little later, a little darker in the evening, a little drunker too, Wayne turned to Lan Chan and said in the privacy of the din,
"I know you said we shouldn't meet again, but like, I don't feel like we have much of a choice in the matter."
And then, when Lan Chan didn't reply or indicate she'd heard it at all,
"We keep on running into each other."
The answer, when it came, was unexpected.
"You know this is a gay bar."
Lan Chan didn't bend down to say this. She remained very straight back, staring ahead.
Yeah, it's Atsing's birthday. She's... gay? And so is Huaisang," she gestured. "And so is... basically everyone, like..."
"And Wing?"
Lan Chan did turn to her now, a slow look, a tilt of the head. Her voice was a burr under the wide noise of the bar.
"What is Wing?"
Wing's mouth went a little dry. She had to tilt up to meet Lan Chan's eye.
She said. "I'm an ally."
They both seemed to think the same thing at the same time. Wing, 16, calling Lan Chan a freak, calling her a lesbian. Someone saying, "Ew." In a bubble of emotion, Wayne stepped closer and grabbed Lan Chan's hand and lifted it up between them and held it to the bone of her breast and said,
"I want to get to know you. I really want to get to know you as a friend, properly. I think you could be great, and I want you to get to know me. And I did bad things as a kid, but I promise you, I promise I'm so much better now, and please just let me prove that...
She ran out of steam. Lan Chan hadn't pulled away yet. Her face got a knot like a frown. A trace of it. A line between her brows. She considered Wei Ying. She considered her in full. Her face. Her body. The spot where Lan Chan's cold hand was pressed to Wei Ying's chest. She would be able to feel the frenzied beat of Wei Ying's heart. The sweat on her skin. Lan Chan licked her lips. Wei Ying's belly hollowed out. Where her hand was held, Lan Chan ran the pad of her thumb over Wei Ying's knuckles. It was a slow touch, a thoughtful one.
"Okay,"
Lan Chan said.
"Prove it."
The hunger ticked up a notch. Wei Ying smiled, broad, felt a little wild. She didn't let go of Lan Chan's hand right away. The rest of the night they stayed huddled by the bar, leaned close, talking, running through the narrative of the last 10 years. When the dancing started, they had to speak more closely to be heard over the noise. Mouths close to ears, to necks. Lan Chan's breath on her throat. When Wei Ying told her about the homes, talking around it, making fun to hide how bad it was, Lan Chan only said,
"I didn't know."
"No," Wei Ying said. "No, I know."
They were quiet for a while. Wei Ying was blushing. Then Lan Chan said,
"Did you get in trouble over the missing grade?"
Wei Ying didn't want to answer. Instead, she fiddled with a beer coaster. Lan Chan put her hand on Wei Ying's hip, making her look up. Big hands, and her palm warm. Lan Chan's eyes had turned kind, somewhere along the night. Softer, restless on Wei Ying's face whenever Wei Ying spoke. She said,
"I'm sorry."
Wei Ying could only shake her head no.
"No, no, no, no."
At the end of the night, after Lan Chan left, after most everyone left, Wen Qing leaned into the bar next to Wei Ying and said,
"So what was that?"
And Wei Ying said,
What was what? I went to inside.
You and the hot butch?
Like there was something more. Like there was a secret to be told. Wenting knew who Lantern was, to Wei Ying. She'd heard it all. She'd seen Wei Ying cry over it. Now she said,
I thought you two were making out at some point. You were so close.
But you were just talking, huh?
Wei Ying laughed too loud for it to be a natural reaction. She cleared her throat, sobered.
She said,
we were catching up.
And?
I asked her if we could be friends.
Oh?
And she said,
okay,
Wei Ying said.
She said, okay?
Okay,
Wenting said, and pushed her shoulder into Wei Ying's.
Okay is okay.
Like an exhale following an inhale, that's how it went from there. Inevitable, pushed out. And so quickly, too. They went for a walk. They went for lunch. Lantern came by the apothecary once a week, just for the oddest, smallest things. Earplugs, sport tape, chamomile tea. Wing's new joke became,
that'll be 3 million euros, thank you!
And punched 3 million into the card reader for Lantern to pay. Lantern would pretend to be willing to pay. Wing would shout at her and quickly terminate the payment. Wing got a bad cold, and Lantern came by. She brought Wing soup. They watched a movie in Wing's bed. Lantern's legs a mile long over the sheets. Wei Ying got better. They went to a concert, and Lantern got someone's elbow to her forehead, and Wei Ying patched her up in the bathroom, totting. The blood wasn't too bad, but Wei Ying still cried at some point, drunk and emotional, and Lantern said,
why are you crying?
And Wei Ying said,
why would someone hurt you? That's so mean! That's so mean!
And Lantern held her gently by the elbows. They both heard it, in Wei Ying's words. They both knew what she was crying about. That night, Wei Ying slept on Lantern's couch. She stared at the ceiling, and the thought came to her crystal clear and fully formed. If I hurt her again, she'll be gone forever. She promised to herself, right there, an oath that tasted of watered-down beer. And concert sweat. I won't. I won't. I won't. I won't. The apartment happened in a blink. Wayne's landlord wanting to renovate the place, so she had to leave, and Lantern's brother moving out, and they were friends, close friends even, that fresh, obsessive phase where every oddly shaped fruit needed to be shared, every ladybug found on a windowsill, every thought, every good morning and good night. She hadn't had that kind of friendship since childhood. Since the Jiang siblings. Since forever. On her first night in Lantern's, their apartment, she made Lantern lie on the living room carpet and take it in. Lantern complied, in the way she complied with most of Wei Ying's requests. A little stiffly, but without complaint. Wei Ying turned on her side, shuffled close so that the tip of her nose almost touched Lantern's cheek, and waited her out. How long could Lantern lie there without acknowledging Wei Ying's nearness? Wei Ying broke first, a giggle, then turned to look at the ceiling. She was still close, shoulder overlapping Lantern's.
It's like having a sleepover, she said. Like when you're kids and you have a sleepover and you don't even want to go to sleep because then it'll be over.
She put a hand over her belly. She could see Lantern's eyes dart to it.
But it doesn't have to be over now. We can just keep on.
Lantern looked at her. Then, she agreed. Wayne turned. Their noses brushed. A moment. A beat. Her breaths close. Lantern got back up. She reached out a hand to Wei Ying to help her up. Their fingers tangled, briefly, and then the touch was gone. They had dinner together. They cleared the dishes together. Wei Ying slept better than she ever had. Wei Ying dated some guy, broke up with some guy, had a massive crush on a dude in a band, who had a deep voice and a sneer, who she brought over for dinner and who insulted Lantern's cooking, and who was then never invited back again. He had doused her crush quickly, immediately, a hiss of embers under eyes.
Lenten went out sometimes, stayed out until late sometimes. She always slept at home. The next mornings she'd be out on the balcony, joggers and sports bra leaned over the railing. The summer sun would draw a triangle of light on her brown back, the dip of her spine, and Wei-Ying would watch her from the kitchen door and feel only gratitude. And below that gratitude, a distant whine of a thing, a hollow, that same possessive hunger. She'd push her thumb at it. You can't own people like that, she knew. You couldn't tell them to be only yours, only your friend, never to go out without you, never to look at anyone but you. That's not what a good friendship was, Wei reminded herself, again and again. That wasn't a friendship at all.
She expects everything to be different when Lenten comes back from her weekend away. Heartbreak retreat, shit, shit. But nothing is different at first. Everything is a terrible same. Lenten's keys in the bowl, the sound of the door opening and closing, Lenten giving a single hello into the house before she's even seen Wei-Ying's there, waiting. Wei-Ying dances around her at a distance. She's nervous, she realizes. She's nervous to talk to Lenten. She hasn't been nervous about Lenten in so long. Lenten doesn't seem to notice. She tells Wei-Ying there was a farmer's market on the way down from Lan Huan's cabin, and that she caught some jams, some fruit. Wei-Ying says,
Ah, that's so good!
And sucks in a breath that breaks in her throat. Lenten gives her a look. They're in the kitchen, and Lenten is putting things in the fridge. She is in her white socks, the ones that have embroidery into them, the L for left side, the R for right side. She's clear-eyed, looks rested. Huaisang had said, She just needs a break sometimes. And Wei-Ying had said, voice pitched,
She needs a break from me?
Mian Mian had given her a one-armed hug and said,
No, 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 baby, not from you. From, you know, from...
Lenten reaches out suddenly, and Wei-Ying thinks she's going to reach for her, and she leans back into the counter with a jerk. But no, Lenten was going to put two apples in the fruit bowl. Wei-Ying's flinch has made her still in her movement. She takes in Wei-Ying, face, body. Wei-Ying shivers. Lenten says,
What's wrong?
Wrong? No, wrong? Nothing!
Lenten considers her a bit longer. She's not buying it, but she's letting it go. Wei-Ying thinks,
Huaisang was wrong.
Thinks,
She's not in love with me. She's annoyed. She's bored. She's not... There's been a mistake. She's not...
Here, Lenten says, and gives her one of the apples. Wei-Ying accepts.
Wash it first,
Lenten tells her. Wei-Ying does. Throat tight, tight. Lenten goes to unpack her weekend bag. Wei-Ying follows, lounges against the doorframe. There's a wrinkle in the otherwise tightly pulled sheets where Wei-Ying had sat, where she had screamed into one of Lenten's pillows. Wei-Ying thinks of Lenten putting her face to it at night and blushes at her apple.
Tonight's Mian Mian's gallery thing,
she says, inspects the shape of the bite she took.
You're coming, right?
Lenten says, in a way that means, maybe. She's taking a stack of folded clothes from her bag.
Have a date with Chelsea.
The name rings some kind of bell. Lenten had met her at the store. They met up once, twice. We hadn't been nice about it.
She sounds basic, Lenten.
She pushed a finger into Lenten's cheek, ground it in.
You need a superstar. You need a diva.
Lenten had taken Wei-Ying's hand from her face with a squeeze to her wrist.
No, thank you,
had been her answer, now looking up from her book. She's not in love with Wei-Ying. There has been a mistake, a misunderstanding. Lenten is dating Chelsea. Lenten isn't even looking at Wei-Ying right now. Lenten is clearly somewhere else with her mind.
Oh, bring her!
Wayne says, louder than before. Bring her, why not? Don't you want her meeting your friends? Are you ashamed, Lenten? I see. You don't want your Chelsea meeting you.
It's a second date, Lenten says. It seemed premature.
No! Wayne isn't sure what she's doing, only that she's doing it, and that she's doing it with force.
No! Bring her! Hiya! Please, it'll be fun! Fun day, no? Art and free snacks and, you know.
Lenten pauses, staring at her bag. A strand of hair has fallen over her eye, cutting her lashes.
Maybe,
she says. Wayne nods. She wants to ask more, wants to ask about Chelsea. Who asked for the second date? The Lenten? Did she want it? Has she been thinking about this girl? Has she been on her mind? Has it been driving her to distraction? Is that why she had to go up to Langhuan's? And not because what Hui Sang said about needing a break about Wei Ying, about...
How was Langhuan's?
She asks. She doesn't realize how thick the silence has grown until her voice rings out loudly.
Good. Quiet.
Yeah, I bet.
Wayne says. Lenten blinks in a way that means...
Yes.
Wayne doesn't know what else to say. She lingers by the doorway for a long time, until Lenten has unpacked the rest of her things, until there's no reason for her to stay. Even then, she stays a few minutes longer, the skeleton of her apple tacking her hand.
Okay, then...
She makes to leave, and Lenten looks at her like something might follow that thought. An announcement? A question? Wayne has neither. She stares back and everything is off. Flayed, missing a layer of skin. Lenten could sneeze and Wayne would keel over. Lenten could breathe and Wayne might be knocked to her knees. She goes to her room and paces until evening, tries to read and can't focus, starting emails and not finishing them. She plays Tetris for a lost hour and a half. She's known unrequited love before, is a thing. It's happened before, messily and awkwardly, and for the most part during her early 20s. A housemaid who'd get her weed, a colleague who'd joked around with. She'd hated it, always, being on the confused end of someone's love, being handed this lump of desire in the shape of a request and not knowing what to do with it. She would listen to them, explain herself to her.
You're just so, so good, Wing, and kind, and I think if we were just to give it a chance, we could really...
And think, oh, you don't know me at all. That was worse, she always thought. Worse than loving unrequited, being the object who didn't want in the same way they were wanted. But now, with the hum of Lenten's presence next door, moving and living and apparently in love with her, Wayne comes to the conclusion that she knew nothing. She was a fool. She hadn't known a single thing. And that there is nothing worse than having lived with a love so close and having been oblivious of it. Nothing worse than loving the person who's in love with you. Loving them more than anyone else, than anything else, just not like that. Nothing worse than wanting to give them what they want, knowing that you can't. That you can't. That you're... That you don't. I've never been. Hello, Lenten says, from Wayne's doorway. She's in her pea coat, her date outfit. Wet-looking hair, high-waisted jeans. The keys are in her hand.
I'm leaving, she says. I will ask Chelsea about the gallery. I will let you know what we decide.
Wayne has taken off her headphones, smiles, says...
Yeah, yes, we'll be in touch. Cool.
Lenten knocks on the doorframe once to announce her departure. There's a tight lilt to the corner of her mouth. Not a smile, an imitation of a smile. She looks like she's suspicious of Wayne's mood, and still doesn't ask about it. Leaves, quietly, front door opening, front door closing. Wayne loves her. Wayne has no business feeling hurt over it. She wants Lenten to stay, to hang out with her, to make fun of her. She wants a girl's night on the couch,
She wants Lan-chan to do her hair, touch her, push her around, and Lan-chan wants to make out with some girl in her car. Lan-chan wants to put her hands to some girl's waist and pull. She probably wants to fuck. It's fair. Wayne can't give her that. Wayne hates that she can't give her that. It's also... She wonders if it would be different if Lan-chan were a guy and immediately recoils from the thought, feeling weird about it, unclean. Her brain knots itself in some formation, spits up ideas. Ones where it's Wei-Ying who's the different one, with a different desire, a different identity, and the whole thing twists and several images flash, quickfire. How they look together, how tall Lan-chan is, her hands, her mouth, teeth, bending, weighing back over her. She has to get off the bed and hold her neck with both hands and breathe. She goes to wash her face, cold water, and stays there, lean into the sink. She watches a drop roll down the tip of her nose, watches it collect, suspended. She watches it fall. End of chapter 1.